video by way of introduction. That's something off Right Now Media, by the way. And the title of the message today is Passion for the Impossible. Passion for the Impossible. And, you know, having a passion for the impossible. Someone said this, that God loves with a great love the man who has a passion for the impossible. David Smithers wrote this, said, until we reach for the impossible through fervent, faith-filled prayer, we will never fulfill our created purpose. You know, the word impossible, when you think about that, it's an oxymoron when it comes to God. The Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. Impossibility only exists in our minds. In our minds, in the mind that, you know, we have set limits on what we think God can or will do. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. I got several points there in that text, and I had to read a lot of it to get all the points covered, that will help us have a passion for the impossible, which I think we limit ourselves somewhat on that. The very first thing that we see, and I underline these words along in my Bible, we see, in verse 8 and 9, it said that God had called him to go out, that he obeyed, and that he sojourned. And now, you know, I want you to look at move this way as a metaphor, so to speak. I know in Abraham's case, it was actually a move from a physical location to another physical location, but there was a spiritual part of that involved as well. And, you know, I want you to look at it like this, as a movement from us. You know, we're God's people, and we're all, everybody here is at some place in their life spiritually. Your relationship with God, whether you have one or not, or whether you know Him, or whether you have one and maybe you know you haven't progressed, we're in a spot. And listen, God doesn't call anybody to trust Him or put their faith in them and then stay at the same place in that life. It's just like as a child, we got babies and different age kids, and some of us that are way past being babies and older. But God doesn't call us to stay at the same age in our physical life. He doesn't call us to stay at the same place in our spiritual life either. You know, there's a movement, to obedience, movement from, as a Christian, from a stagnation point of view, a stagnated place maybe, or an indifferent place, to a place of life or growing. I don't know about you, but if I was out in the woods and I ran out of water and I got real thirsty, I want to go get that water that's real clear, moving water, looks pretty nice. I'm not going to go to a stagnant pool of water, got, moss growing on top of it and mosquito larvae flopping around in there, and drink that water. I'm going to go to a place where the water looks... Why would we in our spiritual life, why would we want to live in a stagnated place, in spiritually speaking? We wouldn't want to be living in a place of movement where God is moving. It said that he sojourned in a strange country. And I like to look at that as this, he got to a place, he went outside of his comfort zone. Man, when the Bible says that Abraham, God said, listen, I want to move to a place I'm going to tell you about. God didn't say, look, here it is, and here's all the brochures, and we got video clips of what it all looks like. He just said, you follow me. and we're going, and you know, and Abraham didn't know where he was going. Now, you know, that's got to be, you know, you got to be out of your comfort zone to do that a little bit. Well, I'm moving. Where are you going? Well, I'm not real sure. but you know, you got all the family going along with you, you know, and everybody's not sure where we're going, out of the comfort zone. And a lot of times what happens to us to grow spiritually, you know, we've got to get past the place that we're at, wherever that may be. Just every little thing, something's always new. New job, everything is a little bit out of our comfort zone when it comes to that. And so, sometimes we set parameters about God in our mind of what, you know, what I'm going to do, or what I will allow God to do in my life, or what I think that I can do, or what I think that God can do. You know, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously we do that. So God is always calling us to move from wherever we are spiritually, and none of us are never going to get to a place in this life where we've arrived and we know it all and we don't have to have any growth and God doesn't have to deal with us or work on us anymore. He always wants us to move forward, move a little farther, take another step, you know, try something different. You know, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and get a different result. You know, why don't we take a step and move in a spiritual way? I was talking with some folks today about Daniel Boone. I know most of us here old enough knew who he is. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the real one. And they asked Daniel Boone one time, you know, all that pioneering that he did. He always explored. How come you keep doing that? He said, I just want to see what's on the other side of the mountain. He said, and you get on the other side of the mountain, you see another mountain. He said, well, I just got to see what's on the other side of that mountain. Anybody here, if you go hunting, you go out in the woods sometime, you knew, why do you walk all around in the woods? Because I want to see what's out there. You just keep looking, looking, looking. Well, that's it with God. I just want to see what else God can do. I just want to see a little bit more what God can do. We ought to have that passion for that thing with God. You know, it's not impossible, but we ought to have a passion for that to see what God can do in our life. I'll show you something about that in a minute. So number one thing we see that he moved, and along with that was obedience. How would have Abraham seen those promises of God fulfilled if he had to say, nah, I'm not moving? God said, listen, I'm going to move. I'm going to give you an heir. What he was saying there, you're going to have children. I mean, Abraham's about 100 and Sarah's 90, right? And you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. There's an impossibility, right? We think. But God said, you're going to have a child. And then the seed from that children is going to be innumerable. Now, Abraham didn't live to see all that, but he said, that's the promise. How would he have seen any of the promise fulfilled? He did see Isaac come along, by the way. 90-year-old pregnant woman, 100-year-old daddy. You need God, trust me. He says, you know, how are you going to see it happen? If Abraham said, nah, God, I don't think I'm going to move. I don't want to obey what you're telling me. It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. You know, you have to be obedient to see God work. And, you know, God's not asking us to figure it all out. Well, how'd that happen? I don't know. I don't know. I just know he's God. You know, I got faith in God. I don't have to know it. You know, where was God leading them? I don't know, but I know God's going to lead you to a good place. Where God's leading you in your spiritual life? I don't know, but I know it'll be a good place. I know it'll be a better place than where you're at now. It'll always be a better place. God's always going to, you know, God loves us. He's going to do the right thing. Amen? Y'all still with me, right? Okay, just check. He didn't have to know. How would God accomplish it? He didn't have to know. It's God. We can trust God. And so he did. So he moved. The second thing I see in verse 10, it said that he looked for a city which hath foundations, builder and maker's God. He's looking a little farther past where he's at right now in life. You know, looking for God, looking for what God is doing or what God is going to do. A lot of times people aren't really looking to see anything from God. I said that, you know, here before, like, what do we expect to happen today? You know, what is going to happen? I mean, well, nothing. That's because that's what you're looking for. That's what's going to happen, right? So what are we looking for? A lot of times people say, boy, you know, I'd really like to see God do a miracle, in somebody else's life. That's how we look. I'd like to see God really work over there with so-and-so and with somebody else and people that maybe we prayed about. But let me ask you this. Are you looking for God to work in an impossible situation, yours or somebody else's? You know, because all of us might have some situations in our life that seem to be, an impossible situation. But, you know, God can work, those situations. There might be just things that you think he can't, but he can. Are you looking for that, to take place? And so we have to do that. And then another thing, the third thing, is that we have to receive that. You know, it said in verse 11 that he received, that Sarah had received strength to conceive a child. She received that. And, how did she do it? How did she get the strength to go through what she had to go through. You ladies that have children, you know what I'm saying. 90 years old, new baby. Think about that for a few minutes. How'd she get it? Well, number one, she did the other steps. First off, she obeyed God. She said, okay, I'm going to do what you say, God. The second thing was she moved from the place she was at spiritually. She increased her faith by saying, you know what, I think God can do it. God said he could do it, I can do it. And then she looked to God for the things that he promised. And so there she received something from God. See, a lot of times we don't receive anything from God. We're not moving. We're not being obedient. We're not looking to see what God can do. All those things have to come into play. And, what's God trying to do? You think about that. What was God? Was God just like Abraham's special little God, and he's just going to deal with Abraham so that Abraham can have a blessed life and a blessed family? See, what God's trying to do when he calls us to obedience, he's trying to show the world his power. He's trying to show the world his power. That's really what it's all about. He wants to show it. It's really for his glory. Show it to us, even if he works in us, and then also show it to the whole world that God can do something. That's why we prayed so hard for that boy up there in Fairfax and said, his parents, we talked to some of them. Sherry said she talked to him. Well, y'all going to church? Well, we go sometime, but we don't really go that often and all that. So I'd say their relationship with God's probably not where it needs to be. I said, boy, if it ever needed to be now, you got a 19-year-old on a death watch, they're not expecting him to make it. It's not looking good. Man, I said, God, let's just show these people what you can do. Let's just heal this boy. Let's see, show him what you can do. And when I'm praying for that still, that God will show that they'll see something that some people prayed. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you how prayer works. Y'all don't know that I was in pain when I got done with Sunday school. I don't know what's wrong. My lower back got to hurting so bad in my stomach, man, I couldn't stand up any longer. I said, I'm not going to be able to preach. So I sat down and Sherry got over. I said, honey, I said, you got to pray right now. I said, my back hurts so bad. I said, I don't think I can stand up there and do any preaching. I'd have had to sit and preach to y'all. So she put her hand on me. She prayed. Guess what? Like that, man. I feel great. I feel great, man. I mean, God works. God prays. But God's not acting also according to our comfort or convenience. He's working according to his purpose. God wants to take us from where we are. But think about it. Where you're at right now, spiritually speaking, is God going to be able to show the world his power where you're at? Or are you going to have to do a few more, start moving in faith in a certain direction for God to do? That's what God wants to do. I mean, you get a blessing out of it. Don't get me wrong. You're going to get a blessing, but also the world's going to see some things that they haven't seen before, and probably us as well. You have to have a vision. Verse 13 said that he saw something. He saw him afar off. That's having a vision right there. A lot of times we got tunnel vision. We walk along in life like this. See, we're looking right down. And this is all we're seeing is like what's right there in front of us. Pretty limited, So you got to look up. When you look up, look around at what, you got a bigger scope of what's going on in the world. And that, that's what God wants to do. So we can have a greater vision of what he wants to do. Sometimes people get a glimpse of something. That young boy, that video fit very well. He got this idea about helping out a ministry in Sudan. What are we going to do? I got a vision about it. We're going to get a bunch of T-shirts. Well, teenage boy, you don't have any money. Man, he's trying to get it. So he started saving up, and he said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. How am I going to? And then this isn't going to work. So what he did was, you see how he moved. He acted on faith. He acted on a vision that he had. He started doing that, and, he got something going where at first he didn't think he could. See, a lot of times I think people say, boy, man, I'd like to do this. I got an idea about a ministry, or I got an idea how I can serve God. I got an idea about what God can do. But you know what happened? They think, man, I got it in my head, but it doesn't get out of my head. Why? Well, what's the opposite of faith? It's fear. It's talked about it in the last little verse there about Moses' parents. It's the opposite of faith is fear. I'm afraid. And you think, man, I can't do it. I like to say to people like that, you're right. You can't do it. But I'm going to tell you who can. God can do it through you. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. I do know why. I was going to say I don't know why. I know why. God chooses to work through people. He doesn't have to. And sometimes not everything he does is through people, but a lot of what he does is through people. You know why? Because we're like the weakest things on earth. Everything in the world obeys God but us. The animals obey God. The weather obeys God. Everything on the planet obeys God except us. So God says, look, I'm going to take the most weak, disobedient thing I've made in my whole history of the universe, and I'm going to work through them to show that I can take the weak things of the world and do impossibilities with the weak things of the world. That's what God is out to do. So you have to have a vision about that. You know, if we aim low, you'll hit it every time. Aim low, you'll hit it every time. You got to aim, you know, aim for something big. Listen, God can't show the world His power through small human accomplishments that we could get done without God anyway. That doesn't show anybody nothing. I mean, God, even though it all comes from God, but the world out there doesn't understand that. We got talents and we've got abilities and we can get some things done. There's people get things done without God all the time because they're not putting any faith in God. Now God allows them to understand that and they got stuff from God. But the world doesn't see it. What we need to do is attempt something that's so great that they'll know. They said, there's no way that person got that done. There's no way because people know us, right? God can't show the world His accomplishments through His power through human accomplishments. Aim for what we would call the impossible. Amen? And then you got to have a desire. You know, it said in verse 16, you know, really what 15 and 16 is saying. 15 saying, you know what? Abraham, he didn't have to leave that country. He didn't have to leave it, but he did. They had an opportunity to go back, but he didn't. Because now he desired something better, a better country. Have a desire for something better. You know, a lot of people have a desire for things better. I talk to people all the time, man, they want a better marriage. They want a better life. They want to be a better parent. They want to be a better employer. They just want to be a better human being all the way around. What are you doing about that? You know, you say, well, I just can't get it. You know, you don't have faith and don't, you know, have a desire for something and keep on going with that. A lot of people have good intentions but won't follow through. And so have a desire. Listen, I don't want to, I told you guys, I think, and I was told the choir, I used to pray this prayer here, and I said, you know, I got convicted about it because I said I'm wrong. I used to say, Lord, allow us to do our best. Aiming low. Because listen, my best is going to be nowhere near God's best. I'm saying, well, Lord, You work through us and allow us to sing to Your capability. You know, give us the whatever, you know, why or anything we pray about should be, I'm not going to pray just to do my best. That's limiting God. I'm at the human level. I need to get to the spiritual place, a higher plane. And so, you know, and it's a lot of people, though, don't have a desire. Now, this is the pastor's dilemma. See, how do I get you to have a desire for the things of God? If I could write a book on that one, I'd be a billionaire right there. Every pastor in America, every pastor in the world would buy that book. We could figure out how we get you to have a desire for the things of God. It's just like, how are you going to get me to like spinach? You're not, you know. You're not. But listen, I'm not talking about spinach. I'm talking about something good, right? But here's the thing. It's really a shame to be satisfied with complacency. I think it is in any area of life. I don't care what it is. Man, if I'm building something, if I was building this pulpit right here, which I didn't, but if I was, I wouldn't want to be satisfied with just, you know, so complacent. I want to do good, you know, really good job. I mean, I want to try to do my best. So I wouldn't be satisfied with complacency in that area of my life. I don't think you ought to be satisfied with it in your workplace either as a Christian. You know, you shouldn't do that. But why would we want to be satisfied with complacency in our relationship with God? Think about that. Man, this is something, you know, think, man, we ought to have a desire for more of whatever it is. God, listen, God's leading us just like He led Abraham. Trust me, He's leading him the same way. Abraham, you know, Abraham could have stayed where he was and do nothing, but he didn't do that. He obeyed God, and look what God did. And then verse number six, accounting. It says, accounting that God was able. You know, accounting that God was able. It's belief, understanding that it's God who brings us to impossible situations. Think about it. When you look at all the Israelites and even Abraham there, God brought them to all the impossible situations that they faced. You know, when they brought to the Red Sea, right? God brought them to the Red Sea. Now the Egyptian army was coming, but they were brought to a dead-end spot. Now God took care of it. When they were brought to the Jordan River, they were brought to Canaan and they sent spies over and said, man, it's full of giants and all that. There was obstacles and mountains and all kind of things in their life. God told Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, up on the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him. I mean, God led him to tell him to do that. Of course, he intervened. But and Jesus himself was led into the wilderness by God the Father after baptism, and he was tempted of the devil. And they were brought to all those places by God to show them and other people something. He wanted to show them something. And it all came down to his power. Came down to his power and to trusting him. You know, sometimes things are out of our control. I thought about it. When God led the Israelites from Egypt to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was coming, God says, all right, look, he parted the Red Sea, and the water was stacked up on each side, and they could go through on dry ground, and they're standing there. What were the options here? The options were, we're going to get wiped out by the Egyptian army, or we're going to have to trust God, even though that water looks pretty shaky up there, and I can't swim, I got to go through on dry ground. Really wasn't a lot of options there, was it? If you were them, what would you do? We might have went through on dry ground really quickly. We'd have got through there. So sometimes in life, we just have to trust God, man. There's nothing else left to do. But you know what? Most of the time in life, we got options. Most of the time in life, we got options. When they brought Israelites, when they came to the Jordan River, it was at flood stage, the Bible tells us, and it said that this. He said that they had to, that before the water part, the water parted there too, but before it did, they said the priest got to step in the water first. The priest got to step in the water. So now it's at flood stage, rushing by. God just didn't part it, and then they could see the way. They had to step. See, most of the time, that's the way faith works with us in God. You have to step out first. God's telling you, He's saying, look, you're looking at something that looks like an impossibility. You can't get across that water. It looks impossible. God said, listen, I'm telling you to step, and you'll see that you're going to get through, and God gets you through. And so almost always, more of the time, Abraham, when he took Isaac, he said, listen, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham knew that the Word of God said that killing somebody was wrong and human sacrifice is wrong, but he also knew that was the Word of God. He knew it was going to come out in a good way somehow. He knew God would either raise Isaac from the dead or that God was going to stop him and provide a substitute. So what happened to Abraham, buddy? He took Isaac and he went on up there, and Isaac even asked him, he said, hey, Dad, I see the wood and I see the fire and all that. And he said, but I don't see no sacrifice. And he said, God's going to provide one. He laid him on the altar, man. He had the knife, was going to slay him. And God said, stop. He said, I see that you're faithful. He said, and he looked, and there was a ram caught in a thicket. Boy, don't you know he had a worshipful experience up on that mountain right there. But he wouldn't have had it if he hadn't have did what God said. Even though it seemed so far out, God tells you to take your son, your only son, up on the mountain. You're going to sacrifice him. You're going to start obeying that? You're going to start going through it? God said, listen, he knew something about the character of God. That's a whole another message right there. But he took him up. He wouldn't have had that experience. The walls of Jericho, God said, listen, man, I want y'all got to go over there, and I want you to march around the walls seven times, blow a trumpet, and the walls are going to seem kind of crazy. You can hear us now, a bunch of Baptists. Hey, what do we got to do that for? It don't make any sense. How's the walls going to fall down? We'd have to get a committee together, right? Let's form a committee. Sign up sheet in the foyer. It's the walls falling down around Jericho committee. We got to figure out if God's really going to be able to do it this way or not. Isn't that how we do it? Chicken dinner following thereafter, right? That's what we got to do, right? No, man, they said, okay, that's what God said, man. Doesn't make sense. But you know what? So they had to make a choice. Are we going to do what God said or not? Most of the time, that's just the way it is. God wants to test our faith. You know, there may be some, God can push us to the brink to where it's like trust him or else, you know. But there's other time, most of the time, you got an option. Abraham could have went back. They didn't have to step into Jordan. They didn't have to go in the land of Canaan. They didn't have to march around Jericho. They could have said no. Let me ask you this, and I'm just about done. What impossible situations are you facing in your life? I mean, it could be a lot of things, you know, relationship problems, family problems, marriage problems, which is a relationship problem, job problems, any number of things, health problems, maybe something that God's leading you to do. Maybe you're looking at it as an impossible situation. Do you have a vision about it, but you're just afraid to step out on faith? Maybe you're lost. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You're thinking, man, I'm just too bad of a person. I've done this, and this. Listen, man, there's no evil greater than God. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know how God's going to do it. You don't have to know. I got saved. I didn't know. Man, I had a lot of baggage, man. Gee whiz. Had to have a moving van just to haul my baggage around. Huh? How's God going to deal with it? I didn't know. Man just said, listen, man, if you never asked Jesus to come into your life, and I hadn't, he said, that's what you need to do if you want to be. I said, I can do it. How's God going to do it? Don't know. I mean, and it's not that I don't care. I don't want to say it that I don't care. I did care, but I just knew God to deal with it. God dealt with it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you got a loved one that's lost, and man, you just think, man, I prayed. They're just so bad. I just don't think they're ever going to. They don't want to have nothing to do with the gospel. Maybe that's what it is. Can you believe God? Can you get a vision? Can you account that God is able? Can you move past where you are spiritually to trust God? The last little part I read there about Moses' parents said that they believed God. Had to take their little baby, put him in a little basket of reeds, put him down there on the Nile River, crocodile infested, by the way. They said, listen, we're going to hide him. We believe God can do it. They said they didn't fear the king, the opposite of fear. Can you have a passion for what seems to be the impossible to you? Have a desire to move past that point in your life. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.